I'm pleased to welcome Pete Unwin to the studio. Good morning, Pete.
Morning, Simon.
Now, you've come in to talk about this wonderful memorial garden that's been ongoing. No doubt if you live in Luggershaw or Tibworth, indeed, you've seen it progressing through the last few months. And Pete's come in to talk about it today. It looks absolutely marvellous. It's almost at its finished stage now, isn't it?
Yeah. On Saturday night, we'll just be doing a few final bits and pieces and then uncovering everything prior to the Remembrance Parade, so that on the whole, it's a complete surprise when people sort of come down there to view it on the Sunday morning.
Yeah. And you were saying that there's going to be a slightly different method. Maybe the troops are going to walk up to the Memorial Hall this time and give everybody the chance to sort of give them a clap and, you know, because it's that's important.
Yeah, last year, everybody was caught a little bit on the hop because the soldiers just dismissed on parade.
Mm.
And it didn't give the local people to the opportunity to give them a round of applause, which is a way of showing their appreciation to the army or the 26 engineers. And this year they are actually going to march off parade, and they're going to go down into the centre of the town, as far as I know, and be dismissed outside the Memorial Hall.
Mm. So, and at the same time, you'll be unveiling the garden, and I gather you've got some, shall we say, big cheeses coming down to open it.
Yes, we've got Claire Perry, and we've got the Lord Lieutenant of Wiltshire coming along, just to add some emphasis to the importance of the occasion as far as the town is concerned.
Yeah, and also some, probably more important actually, some relatives of some of the people that perhaps never came back from the conflicts in World War One and so on.
Yeah, there are 32 killed in action named on the cenotaph, and we've got something in the region of about 34 direct descendants actually coming on the day in order to unveil the... It's the centenary garden, we're calling it.
Because it's 100 years, isn't it?
It's 100 years since the end of the First World War, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So tell us a little bit about how this concept came about and... how you decided to
commemorate.
The centenary by this lovely garden.
Well, we did a similar sort of thing in 2014, insofar as we commemorated the beginning of the war, and then there's the hiatus, a bit of a hiatus in between. We agreed to reform for 2018 for the end of the war, and initially, the idea was to get a couple of commemorative benches. And install them in the Rose Garden.
Mm.
They're in and they're covered up and they look absolutely beautiful. They're laser cut silhouettes of depicting the First World War and the Second World War. I mean, we mustn't forget the sacrifice that people made in the Second World War. So we can't disregard those either or at all. So we've got the two benches commemorating both conflicts. When we looked at the Rose Garden, we thought, well, the poor old Rose Garden looks a bit tired and a bit sad, and access for wheelchairs and that sort of thing would have been very difficult. So we sort of bit the bullet and thought, well, okay, well, we'll have a stab at completely refurbishing it.
Mm.
And purely by luck, purely by coincidence, Lovell started working in the area, and I bumped into one of their directors at a council meeting, thinking that I could perhaps persuade them to help us out in some way. And I have to say that they've been absolutely brilliant. To give you some idea, you know, if you want some statistics, so I think something in the region of over 100 tonnes of spoil was taken off the site.
Good gracious.
To start off with.
Yeah, that's amazing.
There were the remnants of a toilet block.
Oh, yes, of course.
A couple
I
of feet down. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that all had to come out. And now I have to say that the commitment that Lovell's made has been absolutely superb.
And I gather that his cost, the actual cost of the ratepayer or the taxpayer, if you like, locally, very little money. I mean, Lovell's have been, you know, and other people have been, I mean, it's cost actually us as. Say council taxpayers, it's cost us very little.
Minimal, yeah. The town council have paid for a lectern, a plaque that went on the lectern, and the litter bin. So the cost to the ratepayer, the luxury ratepayer, is something in the region of about £2,500, something in the region of that. The total cost, and I can't be absolutely sure because Lovell's aren't keeping me updated or won't keep me updated with what things have cost them, but I would estimate that the whole project from start to finish will be something in the region of between £50,000 and £60,000.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. So good on Lovell for
absolutely
standing up and, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, we've had marvellous support from local people. I mean, we've just had simple things like pots, collection pots around the town. Mm. They've collected £886. We've had a raffle down at the shop. That's raised £414. The total amount of money that's been raised for both events, for the 2014 and the 2018 events. Well, we haven't finished collecting yet, but I dare say it's going to be something in the region of about £15,500.
Wow, that's fantastic. Mm. Yeah, good on everybody for contributing. It's amazing. Yeah. You know, when you need, we really need it, the Luggershaw community comes together, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, you go from one extreme to another. You've got Lovell's and the magnificent contribution that they've made, which is, you know, absolutely blinding. And then you'll get an old age pensioner walk into the shop and say to my staff, "I'm not a customer, but I've heard what's going on." And she sticks a £5 note in the pot.
There you go. If you don't know, Pete obviously runs the fish and chip shop in Luggershaw. So when he says his shop, that's what he means. So fantastic stuff. I mean, amazing for everybody in Luggershaw, all the contributions that have been made. And to Lovell too, and it's fantastic. Now, tell us about some of the features in the garden, without giving too much away, obviously, because we want it to be a surprise as such on the 11th.
Yeah, well, the centrepiece of the garden is a large red poppy on the floor. The floor is a decorative resin, compacted resin material, beige on the outside. And there's a very, very large red and green poppy in the middle, which is all covered up. We're trying to keep it as big a surprise as we possibly can, to maximise the impact of the whole project. One novel thing: AJK local company, AJK Services, did the electrical works in the garden. And there are three lights in the back wall, in the raised bed in the back wall. Mm-hmm. They're obviously going to light up. And we had a chat with them and said, well, look, we don't really want the lights on all night reasons of economy and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So they came up with a rather clever way of having a light sensor which switches them on at dusk.
Ah.
And a time switch that turns them off at midnight.
Oh, wow, well, that's
so
a good idea.
So they're not on all night, which is quite novel. So I think, I mean, we haven't yet been able to see everything lit up at night.
Yeah.
So that'll be quite be interesting on the first night that they're working.
Indeed. And you've got a lectern there with some commemorating
people. Oh, that's right,
people.
Yeah.
Yes.
The town council bought a lectern. There's a stainless steel plate explaining how the garden came about, and there's a bit of a citation about those that left the town never to return. There's a matching litter bin. Now that doesn't sound all that glamorous, but when it's unveiled, you'll see it's a rather beautiful work of art. Again, laser cut figures on the outside of the litter bin. It's all powder coated in black, but it did have a galvanized bin inside it. Mm. And it didn't look particularly striking. So we thought, well, I wonder if it would be better if it was painted red.
Mm.
And Sean Smith from the Crown Pub took it away and got one of his customers to spray the bin red.
Really?
And, yeah, when we put it back in, it really did make a lovely difference to the bin.
Yeah, fantastic. Mm. And you've had a lot of volunteers, obviously, helping you out. I've noticed different people there helping you out, especially with the planting, because you've had quite an extensive planting of all the beds and everything. Yeah. How did you go about choosing the plants?
That was professionally done.
Oh, was it? Right.
That was professionally done, by Lovells. They got a professional company in. The criteria was that the plants should be insect-loving, attract bees and butterflies.
Yeah.
That was the criteria. And they came up with a planting plan. Well, I mean, I was gobsmacked when I saw it. You know, I wasn't expecting it at all. And again, when we saw all the plants that arrived, and some of them had price tags on, and we did a rough calculation, in excess of £500 or £600 worth of plants.
That's amazing.
Went in there.
They look great.
Yeah, and we've supplemented them as well. Just a big, it's not the right time of year to plant plants.
No, sure.
And get a bit of colour. So we have supplemented the planting with some stuff that's currently in flower, just to brighten it up a little bit. But when it all matures, I think it'll look smashing.
Glorious. Do you want to mention a few names, perhaps, that of people that have helped you over the last few months on the garden?
Well, it would be a nice idea, but there's 26 of them.
Oh, my goodness.
Specifically.
Maybe that.
Just to mention that there is also an exhibition, a Great War exhibition, being held over that weekend. And those people that have contributed in some way, or significantly contributed in some way, shape or form, will be displayed in the exhibition.
Right.
And as I said, there are 26 of them.
Okay.
There are national companies, there are individuals, there are local organisations, local businesses. The list is far and wide.
Is endless. Well, thank you very much to all those people. I think we want to say, I mean, there's 26, probably too many to read out on air this morning. But as you'll see them all in the memorial, the exhibition that's going to happen on the same day. And as I say, thank you very much. You know who you are. So thank you from all of us for helping out on this garden. Anything else, Pete?
If I can just emphasise the fact that once the soldiers have marched off parade, that won't be the end of it.
No.
What the soldiers moving out of the way will do is allow the locals to actually congregate around the garden.
Right.
And watch the unveiling and the blessing and dedication of the garden.
Right.
So it's a sort of a two-part ceremony, really. Yeah. There's the parade service and then the unveiling, blessing and dedication of the garden.
Okay. And all this, of course, happens on the 11th, November the 11th, which must be next weekend, is it?
The parade service starts, the parade service starts at 10 o'clock.
Right.
Okay, in the church, and it's also relayed to the town centre.
Yeah.
Okay, so it'll be standing room only in the church. Unfortunately, they can't take everybody that would want to go into the church, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But the service is relayed to the town centre.
Right.
So they can still take part in the service.
Yeah.
And then round about quarter to 11, the service in the church will finish. People will make their way from the church to the town centre. Anybody that wants to lay a wreath... They just need to make themselves known and be in the proximity of the toilets in the corner there opposite the memorial.
Yeah.
Michael Mead is normally the guy that makes these announcements and just gathers everybody together that wants to lay a wreath of some sort. Mm. He'll put them in an order of seniority or importance, for want of a better word. After 11 o'clock, when there's 2 minutes silence and the bugling, then everybody would have the opportunity in turn to lay their wreaths around the cenotaph.
Okay.
And then once that's done, the soldiers will dismiss, as I said, march off parade. It would be nice if we give the soldiers our usual round of applause in appreciation to their efforts and what have you. And then, as I said... we then need to concentrate around the garden and watch proceedings around there.
Fantastic. And just briefly, before you go, Pete, there's a lovely silhouette that many people have probably seen on the actual cenotaph itself.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Yeah, well, the group bought that from they were advertised by the Royal British Legion as part of their fundraising for the organisation. And We paid for that for the sleeping Tommy to be delivered to us. 26 engineers adapted it so that it could be freestanding.
Mm-hmm.
It is actually secured to an ammunition box.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's very fitting. Yeah.
We stood it in front of the cenotaph, and if you haven't seen it, when it's lit up at night, you've got the double silhouette of the Tommy against the cenotaph. And I've seen quite a few people taking photographs of
yeah.
it. And then afterwards, it will go into the church.
Ah, right.
Afterwards,
okay.
It will go into the chancel of St. James's Church.
Right. Okay.
And then presumably come out next year.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's fantastic. Yeah, I wondered how that had come about there. And I gather many people have taken some photos of it,
yeah.
and it's been quite very popular.
Yeah, but they're all over the country.
Yeah.
I think Amesbury, is one example where these are fixed all the way around the town.
Sure. All right, Pete, thanks very much for coming up this morning and telling us about it. We look forward to next weekend and to see the unveiling of the garden and have a chance to have a look at it properly. Thank you for all your work putting it all together.
Okay. Well, yeah, just
as you and
a lot of other people.
And a lot of other people, yeah, that's right.